Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just was listening to the last caller, and I don't know what to say about that, but I do have some figures on the suicide rates in the Army that you might be interested in. You never seem to mention that.
I would be happy to mention it.
In 2008, the Army suicide rate surpassed the nation with 197 suicides within its rank. Last year, it was up to 239, along with the 1,713 known unsuccessful attempts. The Army suicide rate is 22 per 100,000, compared to a national rate of 19 per 100,000. At 24 per 100,000, the Marine Corps has the highest suicide rate among the military branches.
I didn't know that.
And by May of this year, 163 suicides were confirmed. This comes from the Keene Sentinel, but I got to talk to Colonel Philbrick when he came here to MFS, and he's the point man for the Pentagon on Army suicides. But one thing I never hear you mention when you are always supporting the military is you never talk about the mercenaries, or what I call the mercenaries, the private contractors. And how many of them are dying, and how many of them actually are veterans but are just kind of in it for the money. They can make good go out of money over there as private contractors. And I never hear you mention
I do once in a while. I don't do it often, but every once in a while it'll pop up on the site that I use, and I'll use that. Also, the number of civilians in the country that have died.
Yeah, it's very hard to get casualty figures other than just our own. If you try to Google worldwide casualty figures, it's pretty hard. But I have one other thing I want to just get my 3 minutes time in. There's 14 characteristics of fascism that I think that word is often bandied about that you might want to share with your audience. And I'll just read the main characteristic. There's a paragraph that goes with it, and then I'll tell you where it comes from.
Okay.
The first characteristic of fascism is powerful and continuing nationalism. The second is disdain for the recognition of human rights. The third is identification of enemies, scapegoats, as a unifying cause. The fourth is the supremacy of the military. Even in when widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding. Fifth, rampant sexism. Sixth, controlled media. Seventh, obsession with national security. Eighth, religion and government are intertwined. Ninth, corporate power is protected. 10th, labor power is suppressed. 11th, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. 12, obsession with crime and punishment. 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. And the last one is fraudulent elections. Now, this was done by a political science, Dr. Lawrence Britt, and he gathered this information from studying Hitler's regime, Mussolini, Franco, Suharto in Indonesia, and Pinochet. And he found that these were the common 14 elements of fascism. And I just thought your audience might like to know that. This comes from a book that was written by Jerry Saluka called Facing Fascism, and he ran for a state senate seat in the North Country. And it's a very fascinating book about New Hampshire politics. And thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is a little different. This is back to the state again, but I noticed that there's a bill in to expand the death penalty?
Oh, yeah. There was a hearing on that the other day.
I was, and I was watching as much of it as I could when it was on. But now it's just what the murder of a police officer, murder for hire, and murder during a kidnapping or sexual assault. And now it's going to include murder during home invasions, which can, is that going to make any difference? It's not going to make any difference for these people.
Right.
Because
it's not retroactive. It would be retroactive,
one,
yeah.
I don't know.
I the death penalty is a really interesting issue. It hasn't been that much at the forefront for a long time. It used to be a lot
1938
more.
Was the last time anybody was
in the state.
In the state.
Well, I mean, like, I remember when I was when the Supreme Court authorized it again, which was in the 70s, I think 77 or 78. There was a lot of attention given then, but I don't know. I'm not a I personally, my own view is that I think that life in prison, if you knew that the person would not get out, could not remotely get out, and that was absolute, I think living your life in prison is a much worse sentence than being executed. And that's just how, I mean, I don't know. I find it very persuasive when I hear, like at that hearing the other day, there were many people who testified who had been victims of somebody, mm-hmm. a loved one had been mm-hmm. killed. And except for the Mr. Cates, I believe it is, everybody testified against the death penalty because of the, you know, whether it's a deterrent effect. I just can't imagine people being deterred. I can't imagine those guys in that would ever said, well, wait a minute, we might be executed. Let's not. I mean, they seem so.
I don't think they think about being executed any more than they think about being caught.
Absolutely.
I don't think they think they'll get caught, much less be executed.
No, it just didn't register.
And I think that if, rather than the death penalty, I think solitary confinement for the rest of your life would be so that, I always picture somebody going in and making a wonderful life of themselves in jail because they're the head of, you know, the leader of the pack, like you see in the movies. I don't know if this really happens in real life, but, you know, I just think solitary confinement, that's the worst punishment I can think of, to be.
Yeah, you can't even imagine that, you know, to be out in public for an hour a day, or not public, but, you know.
To be happy to see the guard coming around with your food, that would be 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, ladies. Dean from FreeKeen.com. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Great. You guys are absolutely right on the issue of the death penalty. And in addition to what you've already pointed out, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are over, I think it's something like 150 people who, over the last 20 or so, 20, 30 years, have actually been released from death
mm-hmm.
row.
Mm-hmm.
They've been entirely exonerated.
Yeah, the Innocence Project. Right.
Yeah. And so that really makes you wonder how many innocent men and women are sitting on death row still, and how many have already
been executed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a really scary thought. I absolutely agree that, you know, punishment, you're looking at the comparison, having to sit on death row or having to sit in a cage for one's lifetime is far more of a punishment than being able to essentially escape from something like that. And humans are fallible. People make mistakes. And when those mistakes are made, there's no taking it back once you put somebody to death.
Yeah, you can't bring back the dead. I mean, what I followed that kind of issue quite a bit. And it's interesting, some of these cases where people have been sitting on death row due to a corrupted witness, or there was a big thing in North Carolina recently that all these tests were supposedly done, blood tests on people, and they weren't actually done. I mean, essentially the juries were lied to. There was just the release of a guy after serving, you know, 20 years. And then in places like Texas, where state-appointed counsel is essentially horrible. I mean, you know, there are reports of people having slept
so quickly.
Relatively quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't, to kill somebody, that's a mistake you can't take back.
Yeah, and also I think that, you know, from a moral perspective, you're also, you know, you're fighting fire with fire. You're trying to solve violence with violence, and I think that, you know, you're essentially lowering yourself to the level of the criminal
mm-hmm.
By taking the criminal's life as well. So I think it's also just, you know, flat out wrong beyond the kind of the practical perspective of you're killing innocent people. So. I'm completely against it. I think you guys are spot on. Anyway, thanks.
Okay. But, anyway, that's why I think that the solitary confinement would be the best, you know, inhumane conditions, but solitary mm-hmm. confinement nonetheless. And because I think they have to get something worse than the guy who's in there for, you know, smoking a joint or something. And I think somehow if people were going to get the death penalty, they should get solitary confinement. Maybe they should have a choice between the two.
Well, you know, you hear about people who have tried to have a choice.
Forrest is making faces at me. don't give them a choice.
Well, I am. You know, it is hard when you hear about cases like the home invasion. That was a horrible, horrible, horrible crime, and that it happened so close to our homes that you know, you can't help but, you know, it's despicable. Like you said, it's, you know, it's a subhuman thing to do.
Right.
But nevertheless, it's not a, you know, we can't pick and choose these things.
Right.
And anyway.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Yeah, hi. I have to laugh at these forensic studies and what have you. I mean, not laugh, but I find it strange. Who are these people that were indicted for the crime to begin with? I mean, if they're found with a knife in the hand or a gun, and you never hear that part of the story, you know? All of a sudden, they're innocent.
Well,
you know?
Are you talking about a specific case or?
No, any of them.
Right.
Any of them. And I believe in the death penalty. I mean, you got people laughing at the system now. They can jiggle their way free from any hole that's put on them. They can appeal. And you got to go back to what worked. And it works. It's just, I'd be willing to bet most of the people in favor of, putting them in prison instead of going the other way.
Yeah.
I bet they're liberals. 95% of them. Okay.
Well, anyway, well, thank you for calling.
I get aggravated, so I got to pick up the phone once in a while. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.